Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed the people, saying, Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. To eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understand the words that had been made known to them. And the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gather around Ezra, the teacher, to give attention to the word of the Lord. They found written in the law which the Lord had commanded through Moses that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees and from myrtles, palms and shade trees to make temporary shelter as it is written. So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves temporary shelters on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephron. The whole company that had returned from exile from built temporary shelters and lived in them, from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the festival for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Let's pray, please. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you for your word that has come to us. We thank you for the grace to know you this way, O Lord. Thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word. And so, Lord, we yield to you. We surrender to you. Spirit of our living God, we pray you have your way amongst us. You will speak your word to us. Spirit of our living God, I yield to you. I pray you will talk through me. You will speak to your people today, my helper. May you, who is God, have your way amongst us. And may your word bring freedom and peace unto us, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so today we are finishing chapter 8. Last week, we did see how the people heard. They were so hungry for the word of God that they asked. They had finished building the walls, and so they can now go back into really living the life that God wants them to live, because they had put the security in place. But now, they yearn for God's word, so they call Ezra to come and read the word of God. And we saw how, from morning till noon, they stood listening to the word of God. They stood listening to the word of God, and they were just... And the leaders made an effort to also help the people to understand. And we did say that understanding the word of God is very key. Because if we do not understand the word of God, then we cannot live the life that God wants us to live. But God being good, he has sent his Holy Spirit to help us understand his word. And we understood also that by them yearning for God like that and allowing them for God to speak to them was the work of the Holy Spirit. God had started moving in their life. The Spirit of God was moving, because it is only the Spirit of God that can move people into desiring and yearning for the word of God like that. Today, we are looking at the part two of this passage, and I'm finishing this passage. I'm hoping that it is short. I don't intend to talk much. I want the word of God to speak to us today. And I'm calling this, response to God's word makes revival flow. Response to God's word makes revival flow. Revival is key. And when we respond to God's word, it allows revival, an awakening for the things of God to flow amongst us. It allows the flowing of God. And so the subject, I'm looking at 9 to 11. The subject is this. The people respond with weeping. The people respond with weeping. And then from verse 1, you see, all the people wept when they heard the word of the Lord. All the people wept when they heard the word of the Lord. You see, them weeping, the word of God was doing what it is intended to do. The word of God was doing what it is intended to do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17 tells us, all scripture is God-breathed and is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. From this passage, we see two major things happening here: reproof and correction. Sometimes it hurts to be reproved and corrected, and these tears were evidence of some of the pain of that pain. Isn't it amazing when the word of God is really working in your life? There is an evidence, and sometimes people weep because God's word is actually doing its work in their life. But the leaders go ahead. Ezra, Nehemiah, and the Levites said, do not mourn nor weep. Do not mourn nor weep. Do not mourn nor weep. Even though it is a good thing to be sad under the conviction of the Holy Spirit through the word of God, yet if the sense of conviction is greater than the sense that God is doing a good and a holy work, then tears are not good. You see, God is definitely doing his work in our life. That is why sometimes we would hear the word of God and it will draw us to a place of brokenness. And sometimes you may commit a particular sin and the word of God will come to you and you will realize, hold on, I have sinned. And you will break down and you will cry and you will weep. But in the midst of weeping, if the weeping is more than what is actually happening to us, as in God working on us, then it is not good, right? And I break this in two ways. Our knowledge of our sin should never be bigger than our knowledge of Jesus as our Savior. We are great sinners, but he is a greater Savior. You see, whatever sin you have committed, whatever way you are living your life, Jesus has come. His death on the cross has paid a higher price for me and you. And so we should be encouraged. Whatever the situation is, we shouldn't become this sorrowful mourning and crying and weeping, seeking attention from God people all the time. We should always pay attention to the greater work that Jesus has done for us. His blood is enough to pay for the sins that we commit. Romans 5:20 says, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increases, grace increased all the more. Wherever sin is, grace is more the more. Pay attention to the grace, the opportunity of Jesus than the sin that you have committed. I am not saying this gives us a room to go around committing sin and living our life anyhow. No. But I'm saying if for any reason you are sinning, you have an opportunity to repent and remember Jesus cares about you more than the sin that you are committing. And so you can always remember this. Therefore, they went ahead encouraging them, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Even when you are being convicted of sin, when we are convicted of sin, we know that God is doing a work in us, so we can be glad and take joy. We can be glad and take joy. It's amazing, right? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The people felt sad because they were aware of their sin, but they could walk in joy because God was doing a great work. Our emotions are not beyond our control. We can do God's will even when we do not feel like it. We can do God's will. Don't let your emotions control you. Remember the first time I came here, I brought a message of encouragement to you guys to pray and do not allow your emotions to control you. Many of us are controlled by our emotions, the way we feel, what we want and stuff. But sometimes, even though we feel a certain way, we can make a decision. We can choose to say, look, this is how I feel, but hey, I choose to rejoice. And so we should become people who are always rejoicing in the Lord. The word of God says that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Whatever comes your way, no matter how difficult, no matter how bad, no matter what it is, you can rejoice and give glory to God, because no matter what, you still have your life. Job is an example. When he was receiving the news about how his property was being damaged and the death, he broke down and he worshipped God. Worship God. Don't become mini-miny people, always walking around. People look at you, they're like, oh, what's wrong? What's happening in your life? People like to come around you to hear the bad news all the time. No. Rejoice. Rejoice. I'm not saying become fake people. No, we are not supposed to be fake people. But there is a place for everything. There are times when somebody may ask you, how's things going? And not to be cliche and not to be Christian-y, oh, everything is fine. You know everything is not fine. But, you know, become people who are living in the joy of our Lord, because it is our strength. It is our strength. And so the second part, when you look at the verse 12, the passage, I've subtitled this, the people chose to rejoice. The people chose to rejoice. And all the people went there, all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portion and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. They chose. They understood the words that were declared to them. They went away praising God, because understanding God's word brings such a sweet sense of joy. Understanding God's word brings such a sweet sense of joy. And now verse 13, the leaders gathered for more study of God's word. It says, now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' house of all the people with the priest and Levite were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the word of the law. Wow. Leaders have a special need to understand the walk in God's word. To understand and walk in God's word. Their ignorance or disobedience affect more, far more than themselves. It affects everyone they have an influence on. Leaders here, please pay attention. You know, being a leader, it should be something that we all ascribe to. Yeah, but the title of leadership is not so that we will just be walking around and throwing our weights around. We have a higher responsibility. And I want to encourage everybody here. Fathers, you are leaders in your home. You need to go extra mile in your walk with God. Mothers, you are leaders in your home. You are leading with your husbands. So you need to go extra mile in your relationship with God. Make an effort to have more understanding. You see here, the leaders, after they had done everything, the next day, they went to Ezra for more. They understood that as leaders, they needed more understanding so that they can be able to lead the people. Can you imagine a leader that lacks understanding of the word of God? And today we have such people, even in the church. We have leaders that cherish the title so much, but are not willing to do the work of leadership. We don't allow the word of God to teach us how to lead. We don't make any effort to train ourselves. We are not in the word of God. We are not able to guide people towards God. We do things from our own mind and how we want to do things. And the sad thing is this. When you are doing it wrongly and somebody tries to point it out to you, you get offended. But you see here, the leaders valued more. Fathers, make an effort. Mothers, make an effort. You are a boss at work here, make an effort. You are a team leader here, make an effort. Ministry leaders here, you need to give yourself to knowing God better so that you can lead others to Christ. Me as your pastor, understand that I cannot lead you to fulfill God's purpose for your life if I become a mediocre pastor. I need to give myself to study. I need to give myself to prayer. I need to give myself to knowing Him intimately. I need to give myself to the Holy Spirit and make sure that I'm always leading you the right way. Because if I do not, I may mislead you. And all of us here have to desire this. Youth, desire that you know God more. Don't wait for the title before you start to lead. Don't wait for the title, because over here, I may not give you the title when I observe how you live your life. So get to know God. Desire to know God. Grow in the things of God. And God, who has called you, that has a purpose for you, He Himself will point you out. He will show you. And as a leader here, I will not hinder anyone, because the word of God says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. And so when the Spirit of God is doing His work in somebody, I know to allow the work to be done. I know to allow you to grow. I know to disciple all of us to fulfill our God purposes. And all ministry leaders here must do this. Study God. Study the word of God. You saw, I read before, the Apostle Paul telling Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. Not approved unto any person, but unto God. And so you give yourself to understanding God. You give yourself to understanding your area of ministry. You give yourself to understanding how to operate in your gifting and your ministry. You give yourself to understanding the people that you lead, the things that you do. How do people here do things? So how can I minister unto them and for them to accept it? We need to really prioritize understanding. Because it is not enough to say we are leaders and be living our life anyway. Many of us are not willing to put in the work. But the word of God says that to all work, to all labor, there is profit. If you want the profit, do the labor. Do the laboring. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you see in the chapter 8, 14 to 18, the people keep the fast of tabernacle. The people keep the fast of tabernacle. It says that it starts with, and they found written in the law, which the Lord has commanded by Moses. This was a beautiful, simple obedience. Their attitude was that God said it, so we will do it. Even though tradition did not tell them to keep the fast of tabernacle, let me explain a little bit about the fast of tabernacle. The fast of tabernacle is basically, the feast of tabernacle is basically a kind of feast of celebration that God told the people of Israel to celebrate for what He has done for them, to remind them of what He did for them through the desert, the 40 days of them going through the desert, how He took care of them and how He provided for them. And when He finished, He told them to celebrate it. And they had been celebrating it as children of God until Joshua's time. Can you imagine? From Joshua's time to when now Nehemiah went to rebuild the walls, the people of Israel had not been celebrating this festival. And so as they were reading the word of God and understanding the word of God, they come across that, hold on, we haven't been celebrating this festival that God told us to celebrate. So what did they do? They came together and they decided to celebrate it. As a simple obedience to God's word. God says we should do it. He told our forefathers to do it. So we are going to obey it and do it. We are going to obey it and do it. They relied on God's word not on traditions. These days in USA, in the life that we are in our homes, in our families, every house has its rules. Every city has its rules. Every town has its rules. We have a way that we are supposed to live. But the most important thing that children of God are supposed to do is to be obedient to God's word. It doesn't matter, my father says. It doesn't matter, my mother says. In the word of God, he says that children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey the instructions that God gives you through your parents in the Lord. So if a father or a mother is misleading you to do something that is against God's word, you need to question that and ask yourself, am I supposed to obey this or not? That's why mothers have to know and understand God's word. Fathers have to know and understand God's word, because we are supposed to lead our families in the way of God. And so when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1, the word of God says, love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his law, and his commands always. We have to obey God's word. If we love God, then we will do what he tells us to do. Luke chapter 11, verse 28 says, he replied, this is Jesus speaking, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. How much are we obeying God's word? When we hear, today as we are seated here, what's running through our mind? The things I'm saying. What's running through our mind? The Bible that we are reading, the passage that we are reading, what's running through? Are we desiring that we will go away and obey God's word? You see, it doesn't matter whether you are a youth, whether you are a young adult, whether you are a mother, a father, adult, whether you are an elderly person waiting for your glorious time with the Father or not, you need to obey God's word. What is God's word? The Bible. And I've lifted my iPad. Mine is electronic. Today we have electronic Bible. Others have the written black and white. Whatever Bible you hold, you need to obey it. Everything that is written in it. Not some. Don't choose what you want in it. Obey everything in there. The Bible teaches us on all walks of life. And we need to obey it all. James 1:25 says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. There is blessing in obeying God's word. There is blessing in obeying God's word. There is blessing in obeying God's word. Let's not forget this. We must always, even in the little things. I like to say this story, tell this story. When I was in London, in the seminary, training to become a pastor, it wasn't easy for me. But I had made up my mind that I was going to live a life that honors our Lord Jesus Christ. And as a student, I had a part-time job. I was working in a shop, like it's a DIY shop, just like Home Depot here in UK. It is called B&Q. It is the sister shop of Home Depot in UK. And if you've gone into Home Depot before, you see how things are always lying about, especially if you work in the screw department. Screws are lying everywhere. Sometimes, and I used to work in the paint department. We used to have small cans of paint and all sorts of different sizes of paint. And people would leave them anywhere. And so when I come early in the morning, I'm supposed to rearrange the shelves and that. Sometimes I would take a small paint and I'll be walking around in the whole shop looking for where it goes. The easy thing would have been to just push it somewhere and walk away. Nobody would see it. I knew where all the cameras were looking at. But I always, every time I'm holding that paint and I'm looking for where to put it and I can't find it, I keep telling myself, no, I can't put it here. I know very well within my heart, this is not where it's supposed to go. It doesn't glorify our Lord Jesus. And so even in the little things, we need to learn to obey God. Don't wait for big opportunities to obey God. Oh, sexual immorality. This one is sex. I'm not going to have sex. Then, yeah, I'm going to obey God here. No. In the petty, petty things. In the petty, petty things. Then you can grow to being able to resist the enemy when bigger things come your way. It's all training. The word of God tells us, train up a child the way he should grow. So the word of God, we need to train ourselves in the word of God. And the Holy Spirit will seek to train us with smaller things. He's not going to throw us into the deep end. No. Starts with petty things. And through the petty things, as we grow, the word of God makes us understand that to he that much is given, much is required. And so as we grow, better temptations come our way. Bigger temptations come our way. Dangerous ones come our way. And it is up to us to really show the devil that God has taught us how to be obedient in the smaller things. You see the children of God working with the Holy Spirit here. That children of Israel should dwell in booths during the Feast of Tabernacle. The Feast of Tabernacle reminds us that we must always do the same today. Joyful people, praising God in everything that we do. Psalm 77 verse 11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. The Feast of Tabernacles' purpose was to remind the Israelites of the favor of God. And children of God today must always remember that God is good. No matter what you're going through, no matter your circumstance, no matter whatever is going through, remember that God is good. There is sweetness in God. There is better in God. There is joy in God. There is peace in God. There is holiness in God. God does not intend the evil that is going on in our world for us. We must always remember this. We must always remember. The purpose was that they will remember that God was good. And today we can always remember that God is good. Look at what Jesus has done for me and you. Look at the freedom of worship we have sitting here today. No matter what, your situation is better than somebody, I'm telling you. I have heard a story of a man who was so financially challenged that he decided to go and commit suicide. His clothes were torn. He thought, this is so bad for me. So he went to a tree to hang himself. And when he got to the tree, took off his clothes and everything, went up there to go and hang himself. While he was on the tree, putting the rope to his neck to jump and hang, he saw another person passing. The person got there and saw his clothes that he had put there. The person took it. Hey, wow! The shoes which were broken and you can see it all open. The leather was torn apart. The person put their foot in it and they started thanking God. Yay! Thank God. Ooh, glory to God. Look, God has given me new shoes. God has given me new clothes. So he was up there and he was looking at the man and he said, wow. So somebody cherishes what I have. I am coming to kill myself for having. And he came down from the tree and he said, hey, excuse me, these are my things. These are my things. So leave it alone. The man said, oh, but tell me why. And he told the man his stories. And the man ministered to him. Why do you want to kill yourself? Why do you want to kill yourself? There is more to life. You have your life. You have your life. There is always better tomorrow. And I want to encourage all of us. There is always better tomorrow. Youth, there is better tomorrow. Whatever is going on in your home, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're battling with, God is good. You can call on God and he will answer. You can wait on God. You can trust God. You can be patient and know that he will change your situation. Hey, and always remember where God has brought you from. Sometimes we forget what God has done. West Hudson Christian Center, don't forget where God has brought you from. Don't forget the pastors that have wept and wept and wept and worked hard to bring you this far. Don't forget the goodness of God. Don't forget. Sometimes when I have to talk about the goodness of God, I start to cry. Charlie, if I tell you what God has brought me through, you won't believe it. I don't like telling it too much because sometimes people would think I'm like superhuman. I behave like superhuman. Look, the things I have seen with my eyes in this world, believe it when I tell you God is good. God is good. There is £8,000 a year. I was working day and night. At the end of it all, I was making just about $4,000 a year to pay my fees. How am I going to pay £8,000? Those times, £8,000 today, the pound was like 2 to 1 of US dollar. So you can multiply it by 2. About $16,000 to $20,000. How am I going to pay that a year? And I trusted God. My fees were overpaid. Within the 3 years of my ministerial training, my fees were overpaid. I used some of those fees to marry my wife. And the Lord walked into my room and he said, I will take care of you. Lie down and sleep. There is goodness in God. Don't always allow the devil to remind you of the negativity in this world, the bad things, and the media is good at it. That is the world that the devil is creating. But God is good. Amen. Don't switch your news and believe what the news people tell you all the time. Goodness is going on. There was a time I went to a conference. And there was an evangelist speaking. He is gifted with the supernatural, healing, prophetic. He was ministering. And it was an open forum. So one woman who was a pastor came and asked them, the man of God. So I see that, what do you think is the problem in our world? Because it looks like now the church has lost its power and it looks like the world is controlling our world. And the evangelist took the mic and he said, I can understand that that is how you feel here in America. But in my world, with where I go, I still see that God is still in control. The church has not lost its power, her power at all. God is actually doing great things in other places. People are receiving their healings. People are receiving their deliverances. The dead are rising from the dead. Good things are happening. And so the church has not lost its power. But your world, the USS system that you live in, tells you that God is dead. God is good. There is goodness. However I am, look at the God in me. When you look at your brother and sister, see God in them. See the goodness in them. And prioritize praying and encouraging them to bring the best out of every situation. No matter what is going on. I always say, I've had the opportunity to walk along people who have lost their loved ones. And I always tell them, tell me some of the good things that this person was doing in your life. Tell me some of the good stories. And they start saying how the person was funny, how the person would do this. And I say, let those things remain with you. No matter what it is, God is doing good. Okay? If you are not tasting it, be patient. But I want to remind you of where he has brought you from. Remember the good. And don't pay attention to the bad now. The difficult situation now. The hard situation now. The temptation now. It is not going to overwhelm you. If it would, God will not allow it to come your way. You can come through it. He's willing to pull you through. That's why the Holy Spirit is with us. I'm going to start the next series soon. The Acts of the Spirit, a journey through the book of Acts. We're going to see the Holy Spirit at work in the life of the church when it started. what the Holy Spirit was good for, what he did not like, how the people live their life with the Spirit of God. We want God to be exalted in our life. Remember his goodness, okay? Remember his goodness. Remember, he's a faithful God. And there was very great gladness. Be glad, okay? Day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. Revival began by the Spirit of God working through the Word of God. It continued that way always. If you want to grow in the things of God, love the Word of God. Desire the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Be patient. Apply the Word of God to your life. Pray and spend time with God. Make time to get to know this Jesus. Give him a chance to reveal himself to you. Many of us are not giving Jesus an opportunity to reveal himself to us. But he is willing. Yeah? He is willing. If you allow him. And so, by God's grace, my sermon has come to an end. And you see how God is working in the life of the people. The Holy Spirit at work in their life. Next chapter, if you get the chance, read it. Please, spend time to study it before you come. You will see how the Holy Spirit was really moving. Next week, we are going to talk about repentance.